Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.
Born to love. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Ellie.
I'm Ellie Kemper. This is Scott Eckert. We're here on our podcast, Born to Love, where we have guests on to talk about what they love.
We have a very exciting author today. She is a dog sledder. Her name is Blair Braverman. She's going to talk about her book and dog sledding. I'm excited. I've been a fan of her for years. My sister loves her.
Her name says it all, Scott. Brave. She's brave as hell and she's not looking back. But here's something I want to talk about. Something I have to get right into it, Scott, because I'm giddy. Because now I'm seeing you over a screen. For those of you listening at home, Scott and I usually record via the computer. I want to talk about my love this week. Something I loved this week.
What did you love, Ellie?
It has nothing to do with computers, Scott. It has everything to do with IRL.
In real life.
In real life. Because Scott Eckert, I got to see you IRL not once, not twice, but three times this past week. I was keeping a tally.
Let me get this straight, Ellie. The thing that you love most this week is me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
I'm flattered.
Oh, yeah. I'm a morning DJ. Oh, yeah. It was, Scott, because so Scott and I live on separate coasts. I'm not going to say which ones. Scott lives on the North Coast. I live on the South. I live on the East Coast. But this summer, I've been in California where Scott lives. And so this past week, Scott and I met for lunch in Glendale. We met for dinner in downtown Los Angeles. And then we met for another lunch.
More like it was a coffee. It was sort of, I guess that we did eat. It was sort of a coffee. Ironically, that third one, it was the longest.
It was the longest.
It was a marathon. It was three and a half hours long, I think.
It was 3.5 hours because our friend, we had another friend join us. But my point here is not to talk about everything that you listeners missed out on, which is Scott and me having a wild, wild, wild IRL catch up, get togethers, but instead the joy of seeing people's faces in real life. Because of course the pandemic forced all of us to move to Zoom, to move to virtual modes of communication, to talking on the phone, which by the way, I prefer talking on the phone even to a Zoom, but that's a separate love. Seeing people in real life is incomparable. There's an energy there. There's no substitute. I don't think anyone's going to come on and fight me on this. Like, obviously it's better to see people in real life than on Zoom. But I want to urge anyone who's more inclined to say, oh, let's just talk about it over Zoom, or, oh, let's just do a FaceTime. No.
The whole remote work thing. Look, I get it. I right now may or may not have taken a shower and it's okay, right? The laziness is something I like to indulge in. So I am a fan of the remote thing.
Of course.
But you're right about it. There's no doubt about it. In person is better. So if you're deciding between a phone call and an in-person chat, Go that extra mile.
Go that extra mile. Take that shower and get out to the coffee shop, because there is something that, you know, I'm sure all of our scientist listeners would confirm my theory that there must be a chemical released from your brain when you see mm-hmm. I think it's like a happiness chemical, maybe dopamine or some sort of endorphin.
Serotonin. Of the brain scientists.
All the brain scientists listeners are saying yes, yes, yes. Oh, they know.
They're nodding their heads in agreement, and they're going to let us know in a review on Apple, a 5-star yep. review,
yes.
and say, yep, it's called serotonin. It's called dopamine.
They're going to say Ellie and Scott definitely went to hormone school because they are on top of it.
Although I have to say, there was a controversy during one of our get-togethers, Ellie.
Oh,
because
boy.
Because you told the story of a dinner that you'd been to where you ate a salad and discovered at the bottom of that salad a dead grasshopper.
Scott.
And there was a little controversy about
Scott,
how...
Scott, no, I'm correcting you. I'm correcting you because this is so crucial to this story and makes me concerned about how well you were listening. And maybe we should switch back to Zoom after all, because Scott, I wish it had been a grasshopper. It was a moth.
I heard moth / grasshopper.
Yeah. You're right. It was a hybrid.
Here's the thing. I don't want to throw a certain person under the bus, but your reaction to this was alarm. My reaction, also alarm. My wife's reaction, the most alarm at the table, right? If you find an insect, moth, grasshopper, whatever, alarmed. And at the very least, maybe send it back. Maybe ask for it to be taken off the bill. Your husband, on the other hand, his reaction was no alarm whatsoever. In fact, we had an extended conversation about how you should not be alarmed in that situation. Yes.
How you're lucky if there isn't a grasshopper or a moth in your food. It was as though the idea that you wouldn't get one was so entitled and that you should expect, what are you going to do? They can't check it. But I believe there was this argument that they can't check every leaf of lettuce and that things are going to happen. And this idea that you should be served a pristine, insect-free meal is American. It's so yes. American.
I mean, I did appreciate that he saw that as an opportunity to be grateful for all of the salads without bugs in them. he's a magnanimous guy. I think I couldn't tell at the end of that, after when I was driving home, if my respect for him had gone up or maybe gone a little bit down.
Now that you know that he literally eats bugs and sees that as just his lot in life. Oh, yeah. I don't deserve any better than this. Well, that's my husband. But anyway, seeing everyone in real life was such a joy. I want to urge all of our listeners to see their friends in real life. I'm laughing, but I'm serious. There's nothing funny
about
it.
Yeah, see your friends in real life. And if there's a salad with bugs in it, I would send it back. You don't necessarily have to. Somebody who probably would go right ahead and eat the bug is our guest. She is an adventurer, a woman of the wild. Her name is Blair Braverman. She's a long-distance dog sledder who's completed some of the toughest sled dog races in the world, including the Iditarod. Have you heard of the Iditarod, Ellie?
Yeah, and I've never heard it said. I've only read it, so I'm so glad you pronounced it for me.
I hope I'm saying it right. We're about to find out. Blair is also a critically acclaimed writer whose work has appeared in Outside Magazine, The New York Times, and on This American Life. She is the author of the novel Small Game. It's available in hardback, and the paperback comes out in October. And I am a tremendous fan of her memoir, Welcome to the Goddamn Ice Cube. It is about her sort of coming of age and discovery of both the wintry north and also her love of dog sledding. You can check out her book, Dogs on the Trail, for a behind-the-scenes look at a year in the life of her dog sled team. And I, for one, cannot wait to talk to her. Ellie, any thoughts about Blair before we bring her in?
I just want to pick every little piece out of her brain. I cannot imagine the resilience and toughness of this woman. And I'm hoping to like catch some over the computer. So stay tuned, buckle up, get in your sled, because we're about when we come back, we're going to chat with Blair Braverman.
And just a quick note, we did have a small technical hiccup in the middle of one of Blair's stories, and she had to switch microphones towards the end of the recording. So just so you know, her audio does change a little bit at the end of the episode. But don't worry, you're not missing any part of her story.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Hi, I'm Giancarlo Esposito, and I'm here to introduce you to my character, Gray Parrish, from my new series, Parrish.
Yeah, I can drive.
My character was a getaway driver.
Yeah!
I'm retired from life, you know that.
His business is failing, his house is going up for sale. He is the everyman.
Tell me about this driver job.
We got a lot of action in this show. We have moments of real danger, and we want to feel as if anything could happen. Gray is invited to drive for this man. He's invited to make money, and he quickly realizes this is not the right thing to do.
I did what you told me to.
And he's in a world over his head.
Now, let's go!
He will try to do what's right and seek justice.
Parrish, all new Sundays at 9 on AMC and stream on AMC Plus.
All right, welcome back. With us, we have author, adventurer, dog sledder, Blair Braverman. Welcome.
Welcome, Blair.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here.
We are so excited to have you.
We are both huge fans of yours. My sister, Lindsay, is an especially huge fan of yours. For listeners who maybe aren't as familiar with who you are, what your work is, who is Blair Braverman in just like a tiny nutshell?
Oh, I hate that question.
Okay.
I'm a writer and a dog sledder.
Yeah.
Those are the two main things I do.
I want to tell you something. So yeah. I knew about your dog sledding feats before I knew about your authorness. Is that the fact that you're an author? You're not an author. You're the author. You have an MFA from the University of Iowa. Like, legit critics go crazy. The Welcome to the Goddamn Ice Cube is a... It's a work of art. It's beautiful. For anyone who hasn't read it, you need to go out and get it today. I know you've written several books, but it's just, so to combine that with what you do on the side, which is dog sled in sub-zero temperatures, is a crazy combo to me. And Scott and I have never dog sledded. We'll start off with that.
Okay. You've never dog sledded. Well, A, we're going to get you dog sledding.
Okay.
Let me know. We don't do dog sled tours. My husband and I, we have our dog sled team, Braver Mountain Mushing, because his last name is Mountain. And we don't do dog sled tours. There's way too much liability.
Okay.
We will take friends. We love having dead weight in the sleds when we're taking the dogs out every day. Hit me up in the winter. We're going to put you both on dog sleds. You have to experience it. It's one of these things, like, you can have an idea of what it's like. And then you stand on the dog sled and the dogs are frantic to run. If you've seen like a retriever and you're holding a tennis ball and like all they want to do is think about that tennis ball forever and ever and they're never going to get tired of it and they're like losing their minds, that is what the whole team is doing. And they're jumping and the sled is shaking and they're way stronger than you, so you can't break. And you pull the anchor and then you're in for the ride of your life.
So just, Blair, when you said when you imagine dog sledding, this is what I'm imagining. I'm imagining Santa's sleigh, except instead of reindeer, it's a bunch of wolves, like wolf-like dogs. And it doesn't fly, of course. It races across the ice and snow. So is what I'm imagining accurate or not?
Some parts are accurate because there's like animals in front of a sled and they're pulling you and they're flying through the air and delivering presents. That's all true. But the thing, like the questions I get from people about dog sledding, like who gets to see dog sledding? I grew up in California. I fell in love with dog sledding because I had this little learn to read book about Balto. And like that left me for life. Like that's, yep. That book is why my life is the way it is today.
Is that what it was? How yes, old were you when you read little, that book?
It was like level 2 learn to read Balto, the bravest dog
yes.
ever. It's still being
yep.
published. I've looked it up.
Yep.
And I was obsessed.
Wait, tell everyone who Balto is, because there's a statue of Balto in Central Park that I always make my boys stop by and a moment, not a moment of silence, but just pay your respects to Balto. Tell everybody who Balto is.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I went to that statue too as a kid. I was obsessed. But so there was this, I'm actually researching this for a project right now, so I can tell you there was a diphtheria epidemic in Nome, which is a little village on the Alaskan coast. And it was terrible because a bunch of kids were dying and this village is completely cut off from the rest of the world in winter. You can't fly there. Now you can. But at the time, you couldn't take a boat because the sea ice was frozen, no trains, nothing. And there was not the medicine that they needed to keep basically like all of the kids in town could have died. And the state of Alaska organized a dog sled relay because at that time, sled dogs delivered the mail. Sled dogs were like how people got around in cold places, even in Minnesota, in Canada, the Yukon, in Alaska. Like that is how you travel in the winter. It's way more effective than anything else. They can go 100 miles a day. And so this sled dog relay carried the medication like 600 miles, just like handing it off from musher to musher and team to team in temperatures down to like 50 below zero. At one point, one of the mushers, Leonard Sepala, had the medication and he was on sea ice and it broke off and started like drifting off to sea. And then his lead dog, Togo, leapt over the ice and dug in and pulled the entire iceberg back to shore so the team could be saved. Absolutely incredible. And so Balto, somewhat controversially, was the last lead dog. That means the dog in front of the team who's finding the trail to bring the medication into Nome. However, there's like some speculation that it's a little bit of like stolen glory.
Oh no!
That musher skipped the last musher in order to become famous and left like another musher waiting there. And like Balto was like an imposter. So it is quite the story.
So is a musher the human driver?
Yes. Yeah, so a musher is the person who's pulled by dog sled. And you know what that means. So I do long distance mushing and mid distance mushing, but I'll talk about long distance here. Mid distance is like 200 to 400 mile races and expeditions. Long distance is 400 to 1,000.
Oh my gosh.
And you're going through wilderness and most of these races are completely unassisted. So no one's helping you. You do have veterinarians you can call on at any moment. There's like amazing volunteer vets who just love sled dogs and come out there out of the goodness of their hearts. But you'll be driving the dog sled, which feels, I've heard it compared to water skiing.
Yeah.
Even though I've never water skied, people say it's a very similar sensation. And if you're going up mountains, you'll run beside it and help the dogs. And then you stop every couple hours and put the dogs to sleep. They need their rest. But while they're resting, you're working. So you're making beds for them. You're massaging them. You're like melting snow to make water so you can feed them this, we call it Meaterade. It's hydrating meat, water, bacon, butter, like
right,
everything you
right.
can put in that a dog
oh
would
my.
Like. And
yeah.
so in a 4-hour stop, the dogs might get 3.5 hours of sleep and you might get 15 minutes.
Oh my gosh.
So there's a lot of sleep deprivation.
Yeah. How is the human body capable of doing that? Like, doesn't that take weeks to travel 1,000 miles?
The longest I've done is 13 days solo travel across Alaska when I did the Iditarod. And
Blair,
I
that's
can tell
crazy. What, how, I don't, I can, that's crazy.
I can tell you in terms of like stress on the human body, I also did Naked and Afraid at one point for fun. And I was there for 14 yes. days. So it was almost the same amount of time. And on Naked and Afraid, I didn't eat. Like I was just naked and starving and uncomfortable in the wilderness. And in the Iditarod, all I ate was frozen cheesecakes all day long because they don't freeze solid. So you can still eat them when they're cold. And I lost twice as much weight in the Iditarod eating 5,000 calories a day as I did on Naked and Afraid eating nothing.
Wow.
Like it's so physically intense.
That, yeah. So are you basically in a state where you just accepted that you will be running on extremely little sleep and that it will last 13 days and that you will have a chance to restore yourself afterwards? Because I just don't understand how else you can get through that period that is so physically demanding.
Yeah. I mean, it's really interesting because, and I've thought about this a lot, like why are long distance measures such masochists?
Yeah.
Because when we're taking care of the dogs, the goal the whole time is for like every dog to be having fun and like super excited to go down the trail. And if a dog is getting tired or they're less enthusiastic or they're like losing their appetite, then we don't want them to be running. We only want it to be a good experience for them. And you can leave dogs along the way with volunteers. So
that's great.
If a dog is like getting tired or just isn't feeling it, then we leave them with volunteers who pet them all day and they meet us at the end. So I'm like, okay, so for my dogs, I know, like I just want it to be positive for them every step of the way. But for me,
that's
like
right.
I put myself through things I would never, ever put the dogs through. And like, why do I do that? I haven't figured it out.
That's my question, Blair, because it's currently in the zeitgeist. And again, I talk about this too much, but from a Peloton, I don't know if you've ever done a Peloton ride.
No, it sounds too miserable for me. I don't want to do it.
Oh, yeah, I know you're joking.
No, I'm not joking. I don't want to do Peloton. It seems...
Oh my... That's funny because it's a party compared to what you're describing. But this notion of self-care and, putting on your oxygen mask first and all this stuff. So what I want to know is when you say, okay, you put yourself through stuff you would never subject your dogs to, or you would never want someone else to go through. So how do you heal yourself then? How do you get that if you're like essentially running on empty? And I might be going too deep here. I don't know.
No, that's a really interesting question. So my husband, Quince Mountain, and I are both mushers, and we have a team together, and we take turns racing. So I might support him in a race, he might support me in a race, and we both know that whoever comes off the trail is going to just crash for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And we will like support the other person through that. But it's also fun. Like, it's fun to be out there. You're seeing things that are incredible that you could that like humans don't get to see. I've been out in 35 below in the middle of like Canadian wilderness under northern lights, like with wolves surrounding us, like just these moments that people don't get to have. And you're working with your dogs in such an incredible way. Like the amount of pride and love. I grew up with pets. I love dogs. And the depth of love that we have for our pets is just absolutely incredible.
Yes. Yep.
And yet somehow like the bond when you've been out there relying on each other for your lives gets even deeper than that. And it's so special to share that with dogs who you've seen grow up. And then even when they grow old and you're caring for them and they're chilling out on the porch or whatever they want to do when they're 14. Like I have this dog now, Harry. He's the oldest dog in our team. He's maybe 14 and he's blind. He's been blind since before he came to us at age 5. And when he first came to us, we were like, this dog can't be a sled dog because he's blind. And we tried to like have him be a pet and it didn't work. He just was desperate to come back to the team. And then he ran like thousands of miles with us and he loves running with the team because they show him where to go and he still gets to run. And he's actually saved us twice. Like there was a blizzard that was a whiteout that we couldn't get through. None of the dogs, even my best leader, Peppy, who's a genius, she was like, I can't lead you through this blizzard. It's a whiteout. I can't see the trail. And the storm was going to last 2 days. We wouldn't make it to the shelter cabin. And Harry found the trail for everyone because he didn't need to see it. He found it with his paws and he led us all the way to shelter.
Oh my gosh. That's incredible. I have goosebumps.
And there was another time in a 400-mile race where he saved us another way. And so now he's an old man and his life is simple. And he wants his butt scratches and he likes special meats from the grocery store. That. Like he really enjoys his special meats. And like, I just hang out with him and I'm like, man, Harry, like the things you and I have been through together, it's just so special have that.
I did not expect to tear up on this.
That is one of the most profound stories. The blind sled dog who couldn't give it up and then saved the team. Good Lord, Blair.
I know.
Holy cow. Thank you for sharing that and for being Harry's friend. Good Lord. Yeah. He's living his best life because of you and the team.
We're so lucky. And then he had his sister. He was inseparable with her their whole lives. She passed away last winter. So we were really worried about him, but he bounced back and she used to howl all the time and now he howls for her.
Oh my good Lord, Blair.
There are no words.
No, I know. This is crazy. Okay, Blair, I never had pets. And I always feel like an alien among animals because I feel like they can sense that I don't know how to communicate with them. And so when you describe this, it all makes sense. I almost feel like this will sound weird. I have a 3-year-old. His name is Matthew. And I feel like they're all Matthew. Like they're just doing their. It sounds like a strange comparison, but they're doing their, I don't know.
Would you put 20 Matthew clones in like reins and drive them 1,000 miles, Ellie?
I would care for them as I do for Matthew. Yes, I would care for those Matthews, but I wouldn't actually put my Matthew through it. But the bond and the care and the love that you have for these dogs is comparable to my bond with Matthew.
What is the most spectacular place that you've been?
Oh, I can't answer that question. I mean, I love the Norwegian Arctic. That place really feels like home to me in a specific way. That's where I first learned to dog sled. But I've dog sledded across northern Finland. I've dog sledded on Svalbard. I've dog sledded up the Yukon River. A lot of places, and they're also beautiful in different ways.
Wait, Blair, I have a question. So when I'm doing something that requires, I run just for the endorphin, like for my mental health. I go running, okay?
Mm-hmm, totally.
But if I'm running and it's hard, and I'm talking about running 3 or 4 miles, okay? So like a very, I don't know, reasonable exercise workout. But when I'm doing that and I feel, oh, I don't want to be doing this, what I look forward to afterwards, well, I look forward to it being done. So my question for you is, do you enjoy, maybe enjoyment is not your objective here. Maybe pleasure is not the objective. Like for me to embark on what you're describing, I would have to think, okay, but when this is over, I can sit on my couch. Do you have that? Are you ever looking forward to the end? Or is it in fact the doing of it that brings you such satisfaction?
Yeah, absolutely. I love being on a dog sled. I love it. Like it feels, it's silent. You're gliding through the snowy wilderness. There's no noise except like the dog's paws and they're panting. It feels really good to be on a sled. It's like being a little kid on a sled, but it's like, it's really satisfying once you really, there's no steering wheel. So you have to really use your body weight and it's like fun. It feels good once you get the hang of it. And then if it's a tough trail, then I'm physically helping. And sometimes I've had to like get through open water and carry the dogs across one at a time or lift them up onto a cliff and push the sled on because no one's going to help me. You have to get through whatever you encounter.
So probably those moments you're not enjoying as much. Is there something in your head that is saying, what state do you go to in your brain that allows you? Because to me, I'm like, you just got to go. You got to keep going. Do you think that? You're so much tougher than either of the people you're talking to right now. So what does this tough person say to herself to get through these moments?
You know what I kind of love is I love reaching situations. I mean, I do and I don't. I also hate it when it happens. But overall, I kind of love it. Encountering situations that seem impossible, like being like, oh, shit, here is open water and a cliff. And like, it's a puzzle. How is the team going to get safely across? And there's always a solution. Like, no one's going to come help you and you're going to get across. So I just remind myself, there's always a solution. I just haven't figured out what it is. And it could involve like a lot of ropes, or it could involve like leaning on different dog skills. There's some dogs who are really good at finding a trail that's buried, or really good at noticing if there's wild animals coming. Like, I'm leaning on the different skills in my team, and then we have to figure it out.
Right.
It's a puzzle. And I really enjoy those moments on the trail where I just come to something and I'm like, it might take 5 minutes or it might take 5 hours, but I have to find my way around this.
Yeah.
But you know what? I don't like adrenaline. I don't like adrenaline. So if you're going down, like down a mountain, there's these places on trails in Alaska. There's this place called the Dalzell Gorge where like sleds fly off cliffs and it's like high speed and it's icy and you're trying to avoid falling into water. And I do not enjoy that at all. Like, don't put me in a race car. I don't want to bungee jump. Wow. I don't like fast moving things.
Yeah.
But I do like a challenge where I can stop and I can sit there with the dogs and figure it out and go through it at my own pace.
I love that.
I find that really satisfying. And I just love watching them all day. So even on a really like standard day where, let's say we're on a lake and we're just running and there's nothing for me to do on the sled. Maybe I have a ski pole and I'm helping a little with that to keep warm. Like, I will just watch their ears bounce for 5 hours straight. I don't get bored. I'm just like, oh, look, there's Grinch's ears bouncing. There's Flame's ears bouncing. I just love them. Look at their cute ears.
Yep, I understand. I'm bringing it back to Matthew.
So it is genuinely the experience of blissfully watching your adorable dog's ears bounce for 5 hours and then, I've got to carry them across this frozen lake. And then back to ears bouncing. It's really like a pretty profound metaphor for the challenges we all face in life, Blair. I'm close to speechless.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day. Because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Hi, I'm Giancarlo Esposito, and I'm here to introduce you to my character, Gray Parrish, from my new series, Parrish.
Yeah, I can drive.
My character was a getaway driver.
Yeah!
I'm retired from life, you know that.
His business is failing, his house is going up for sale. He is the everyman.
Tell me about this driver job.
We got a lot of action in this show. We have moments of real danger, and we want to feel as if anything could happen. Gray is invited to drive for this man. He's invited to make money, and he quickly realizes this is not the right thing to do.
I did what you told me to.
And he's in a world over his head.
Now, let's go!
He will try to do what's right and seek justice.
Parrish, all new Sundays at 9 on AMC and stream on AMC+.
You mentioned that dog sledding, it seems like maybe it's similar to the sensation of water skiing. But I seem to remember when I've only been water skiing, I think, once and humiliated myself. I wasn't very good at it. But I remember the instructor said, if you fall down, like the last thing you want is just be dragged behind the boat for however long. Mm. When you fall down, you let go. But I seem to remember from your book, and this was, it's been a while since I read it, that the opposite is true in dog sledding, that you have to, if you fall, or even if the sled tips over, don't you have to hold on for dear life no matter what?
Yeah,
or am I misremembering? And why is that?
So I think the parallel with water skiing, and again, I've never water skied, so this is just what I've been told by people who have done both, is that you're not really in control of the speed that you're being pulled at. Like dogs, a team of sled dogs is stronger than any brake you can have on your sled. So you can suggest to them that they slow down by adding resistance. But if they see a moose or something that they want to chase, like they will ignore your brake completely and go at 25 miles an hour. And sleds tip over a lot and sometimes they break. I've had the handlebar like just come off in my hands and I was like left standing holding the handlebar and the dog team was gone with the rest of the sled.
Oh my gosh. How did you get them back? What?
I like flagged down some snowmobilers and they really helped me. But if the dog, if you tip over, if you flip, if you just slip because there's like ice on the sled runners and your foot slips off, you're going to get dragged. They're not going to stop. And if you let go, they will continue on without you indefinitely. So if you're a mile from home and they're just going to go home and eat some food, then if you let go, like whatever, they're going to go home and like your friend will catch them and it's not a problem. But if you're, let's say 300 miles into the wilderness and all of your survival supplies are on your sled, all your sleeping bags, all your food, everything, and you let go with a dog team, they could go 40 miles up the trail and you have none of your survival gear. And then the dogs don't have a musher, which means if something happens to them, they don't have a person to help them. It's dangerous for them as well. So you really, really, really try not to be in that situation. And even if you're in like a super competitive race, if someone loses their team, which is quite rare, I've had it happen to me twice in 15 years, and they were like the worst days ever, even though everything was fine. Like anyone else, any other musher will put you on their sled and try to get you to your team. Everyone will help each other. It's more important than racing. On some level, we all know that we're in an extreme environment, and like safety and survival are always going to come first.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually the other time that Harry, our blind dog, saved the team is when I lost the team in a race called the Bear Grease, which is in the Sawtooth Mountains of Minnesota. And it's very hilly and it's very cold. And I lost the team because we were swerving onto this ice road and it was just like this loose track and the sled just flipped and it hit the snowbank and I lost grip. You know, it was a dark night. It was like 2 a.m. We'd been out there for days. And I knew it was like 40 miles to the next road crossing and that there would be volunteers at the road crossing. So if they made it 40 miles, there would be people there to catch the team. But you don't want to count on that. So I just started running after the dogs and I'm wearing like, my clothing weighs like 30 pounds when it's that cold. So I was not like you, Ellie. I was very slow and clunky. I looked like a Yeti or something shuffling along.
That is my gait as well. So anyway.
We would have matched, but
you actually did describe me perfectly. Yeah.
Ellie runs like she's wearing a suit made of lead.
I don't know why we're laughing. That's exactly how I run.
Like her elbows and knees don't bend. She's just hurling them around. Anyway, go.
Amazing.
Okay. So slow and clunky. Your words. Not mine.
My accurate words. Slow and clunky. It's so embarrassing. The dogs are going like 20 miles an hour and I'm going like 1 mile an hour or something like that. But I'm like, I have to keep going. And I went for several hours. And I just, the whole time I'm thinking of all the terrible things that could happen. And I see moose tracks and like moose and dog teams do not get along. So I was really scared.
And at some point, I was like, I'm hallucinating, because I looked up ahead and I'm on top of this mountain and one of the trees is decorated with Christmas lights. And I'm like, that doesn't make any sense at all. We do hallucinate on these long runs. So I was like, oh, great. Now I'm losing it on top of everything else.
Oh, my gosh.
And the thing about hallucinations is usually when you get closer, they go away. But the closer I got to this like Christmas tree in the middle of the woods, the more it looked like Christmas lights. And I was like, did someone do this for the teams? This doesn't make any sense. And it wasn't until I was really close that I realized there were no Christmas lights. It was that my headlamp was reflecting the eyes of my dog team, who are all piled on top of each other, sleeping in a pile, watching me approach them.
Oh my gosh.
And
wow.
They were just stopped there, and they like, a couple of them had climbed on top of the sled. They were just sleeping in a pile, like watching me, like, why is Blair so awkward at running when she comes toward us? And I could not figure it out, because dog teams do not stop on their own. Something has to stop them, but we are on this ice road. The sled hadn't gotten caught on anything. I could not figure out what on earth could possibly have stopped them and saved us. And so I started looking at the dogs more closely, and everyone was fine. They all looked good. They were bored. They were like, how come we've been resting and you haven't given us a snack yet? And then I saw from the way their lines were tangled that Harry, who had been at the front of the team behind the leaders, all of the other dogs have swarmed past him. And I realized he must have put on the brakes. Like, he must have just been like, nope, and stopped dead and been so stubborn that he stopped the entire team of 14 dogs just by planting his feet and refusing to move. Like, he just sensed maybe it was too fast for him, or he was just like,
yeah,
not for me.
Yep.
But it saved them. It's really dangerous for them to be on their own. And instead, they were just chilling in a pile because Harry put on the brakes.
I think that Harry deserves his own statue in Central Park.
You're not
right next to Balto.
You're not wrong.
He's my new dog hero. Balto, take a back seat. Your diphtheria medicine. Your musher stole the glory anyway. So I think Harry deserves it. Wow. I'm tremendously moved. Thank you so much for sharing this. Ellie makes fun of me because I often end these by saying I'm convinced that a guest's topic is great. I'm not convinced that I would enjoy dog sledding one bit, Blair.
But I have
enjoyed hearing you talk about it. So thank you.
It's not all like this. You can do the pony rides of dog sledding where you're just with a little team. You can take out the retirees and they just trot very gently and then like wag their tails and want to have a snack after 3 miles. So that's the way to
that's
start.
I'm the opposite of Scott. I am convinced I would love dog sledding and that I would be amazing at it, when in fact, I'm sure what I would end up doing is the pony ride of dog sleds, which is fine as long as I'm gaining some satisfaction from it. But Blair, to hear you talk about this is, to use Scott's word, actually just profound. It's beautiful. This is such a moving experience, and it was such a pleasure to hear you describe what you love so much about dog sledding. If you have time, which you told us you did, so I hope you still do.
I sure do.
We would love for you to stick around and play a game. Because I was going to say, what if you said we don't have time? We have to play this game. It's called Love It or Loathe It.
Okay.
So this is a very straightforward game. We're going to throw some items at you. And here's the thing, Blair. You need to tell us if you love that thing or you loathe that thing. There can be no middle ground. You don't feel so-so. You don't feel meh. You either love it or you loathe it. Okay. I'm going to go first. Blair Braverman, dog sledder monsieur extraordinaire. Love it or loathe it? Snow.
Snow. Love it. Love it. Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me?
We thought
so. You started with an easy one.
We wanted to start you off easy. Although it would have been a real, I don't know, twist if it turned out you loathe snow. Okay. Blair loves snow.
All right, Blair. Love it or loathe it? The Wisconsin Dells.
Love the Wisconsin Dells. Are you kidding me? It's like my favorite place on earth that isn't on a dog sled trail. My husband and I go there on vacation and feel like normal people for a weekend. And it's incredible. And we go on the rides and we go to like timeshare presentations.
You're like, this is what people do. Wait a second. I thought the Wisconsin Dells, when I saw this on our list, I thought it was a sports team. What is the Wisconsin Dells?
It's like the Vegas of water park towns in Wisconsin. It's so cheesy. It's all touristy. Yeah. There's a ton of water parks. There's like water ski shows that haven't changed in 70 years. It is incredible. It is like an amazing piece of Americana. And the trick is to go before kids get out of school so you have the water parks to yourself.
Yes, I understand that.
I'm from Minnesota and I used to go to the Dells quite often. And I enjoyed it immensely as a child, but it seemed like a pretty horrible place for adults, especially parents having to just endure.
No, we go there without children.
Yes.
Yeah, what are we going to do? It's day four of this vacation. What are we going to do? More water slides.
Yes.
We're going to go to yet another water park.
Okay, Blair, for your next love it or loathe it, this one I'm curious to know. Love it or loathe it, deep tissue massage.
I don't think I've gotten a deep tissue massage.
Of course you
have. But I like massages, so we'll say love it.
Oh, you do? So you love massages. Okay.
I do, and I massage the dogs.
Oh. So we might be talking about, to be perfectly honest with you, I'm talking about going into that nail salon and getting the back rub. That's the massage I'm thinking about. You're thinking of like actual massages to heal your muscles because you've just traveled 400 miles in the Arctic. So it's a different kind of massage, maybe.
I'm pro all kinds of massage.
Okay. That's great.
I've never encountered a massage I didn't like.
Oh, that's...
I hate massages. I hate receiving them. It makes me feel, I don't want people touching, I don't want people rubbing all over my body. And I really hate giving them. My wife is like, will you rub my neck? And I'm just like, oh, I hate this.
Did she know that before she married you?
Yeah, she knew. She knows. But she still tries all these years. She's still like, well, my neck is sore.
She's like, maybe he's changed his mind.
But you've introduced me to a new kind of massage, which is giving an athletic dog a massage. I might enjoy that.
Actually, Scott, like you might. Dogs. Yeah. And they're probably like softer than a neck. I don't know.
All right, Blair, love it or loathe it, my favorite book in middle school, Hatchet.
Love it. Are you kidding me? Love it.
Loves it. Did you read Hatchet in middle school? What impact did it have on you?
I read everything I could find by Gary Paulson.
Yeah.
And I still do.
What other books has he written? Didn't he write a bunch of Hatchet sequels?
He did, but you know, he's a musher. Do you know he's a musher?
No.
No, I didn't know that.
What?
No.
Gary Paulson was a long-distance dog sledder.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my. I'm looking him up right now, and I didn't know any of that. Oh, wow. Scott, you and I need to do our research because, to be perfectly honest with you, Blair, he's similar to you because he's an accomplished, critically acclaimed writer who is also a musher. So there we go. Okay, yeah.
It is my dream to be a second-rate Gary Paulson.
Second-rate? Put yourself up above him. I mean, you don't have to. It's not a race. It's not a guy. No.
He's a legend. But to be peers with Gary Paulson would be like, I would just die of being overwhelmed with joy.
Okay, but Blair, you're not going to say this, so I have to, that I've read so many comparisons of you to Jack London. Like, you are that. So we'll stop saying you would love to be peers with him. You are peers with him.
I think he's just incredible. And I just yesterday, actually, I was at my friend's house for lunch, and he was buddies with Gary Paulson, and Gary ran his dog team in the Iditarod.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Scott, I don't know about you. I feel a little silly for asking if she loves or loathes Hatchet.
I mean, I feel silly. Yeah, no, for sure. I just thought it was a book about a kid who had a hatchet and lived in the woods. And when I was like 13, I was like, this is the best book ever. I was like, I would
too.
Do that. I would swim under and get the whatever he needed, the flare from the pilot or whatever. It's super intense.
Oh, yeah. When I was a kid, I totally wanted to be stranded in the wilderness. That was like my dream was to get to be stranded on an island or something.
And you've done it. You accomplished it.
I have.
Yeah.
You're living your life's dream. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I made a diorama of Call of the Wild after we read Call of the Wild. And I remember putting like venison. Is that what they ate? But I used like deli meat from like our refrigerator at home. And I put it in the diorama. And then our fourth grade teacher did not throw it out for weeks. I'm not kidding you. Well, maybe it was 5 days, but it stank so bad, you guys.
No.
And it was like dried, just like ham. Okay. I know. I was doomed. I wasn't cut out for this kind of thing. Okay. Love it or loathe it. skorts. That's half short, half skirt.
Love it. I love skirts. I love my down skirts. I wear them all the time. They're my favorite winter garment. I go dog sledding in a down skirt. It's warmer than pants. It's like a mitten for your legs. So 100% a fan.
Love it. Blair, love it or loathe it, beach vacations.
Love it, but I haven't been on very many.
I'm shocked that you love them. What on earth do you do on a beach vacation?
I would like to sit under an umbrella and drink mimosas. That sounds fun.
Do you think that your dog team would enjoy the beach?
Aww.
If you took them to an all-inclusive in Mexico, do you think that Harry would like it?
I take them to the beach, the beaches of Lake Superior sometimes, and they do not like the water. It is too wet for them, but they do like smelling the sand. So I think they'd enjoy it.
Yeah. I feel like you would get restless just on the sand with the water coming towards you, but.
No, I could do it for weeks. It sounds fantastic.
You are such an unusual person that it, you are, right? I don't know a lot of people.
Haley, what a strange thing to say to a guest who's been so kind with her time. You are an unusual
person.
I mean.
Because, I'll tell you exactly why I said it, Blair. Because you combine this like world-class mental toughness with wanting to lie on a beach. Like, I am in awe of you because of what you have accomplished, and yet you could also sit on a beach. You seem to actually enjoy the world, which is something I'm envious of.
Do you not enjoy the world?
I do, but I always feel like I need to be doing something else. Does that make sense? Here's what I've taken away from this. You enjoy the now.
I do, I do.
Which is enviable. A lot of people are always, don't do that. Yeah.
Yeah, and I like balance. Like the beach is the opposite. It's still like outdoors and nature and stuff. But one of the things I like about dog sledding is that it's all in the winter and then the summer is more chill. And the dogs are just like playing in a kiddie pool and lying under trees and stuff.
Yep.
And I like that balance too. I like intensity and I like relaxation.
That is comforting to know. And then I think the other reason I called you unusual is because you go to your limits physically, and then you're this insane writer. So I just am having trouble squaring this in my brain because I don't know anyone like you except, I guess, Gary Paulson. Well, isn't that accurate? Please know that I meant unusual in the most complimentary of ways.
I'm very hard to offend. I'm very hard to offend. I took it as a compliment.
I knew that. Yes, exactly right. I knew that because from the very first question we asked you, when you said, oh, I hate that question, I was like, oh, she can't be offended. That's great.
Well, thank you so much, Blair. It's been a delight. Your wisdom, your insight, all these crazy, insane stories. We really appreciate having you on the podcast. Thank you for your time.
Yes, thank you very much for your time because we know you have a lot going on. So thank you for taking the time to talk with us. And we also wanted to ask, are there any projects you want to promote or mention while we're here?
My first novel, my last book, is out in paperback on October 3rd. So you can get it for cheaper than the hardcover if you'd like. And it's called Small Game. If you liked Hatchet, you might like Small Game. It's a survival story about a reality show gone wrong.
Oh my gosh. Blair, I've not had a chance to read it yet, and it's next on my list. I just finished Welcome to the Goddamn Ice Cube, which is just spectacular. I would call that a memoir, right?
Yeah, it's a memoir. A lot of it was reported too, but yeah.
Yeah. You're an incredible person, Blair, and thank you so much for talking about what you love with us. I'm in a better mood after talking with you, so thank you.
Oh, thank you guys so much. I'm so happy to talk to both of you.
Thanks for listening to Born to Love. We'll be back next week with brand new things that we love.
We want to hear from you. Leave us a review in Apple Podcasts and tell us what you love. We might even ask one of our guests in an upcoming Love It or Loathe It.
Born to Love is hosted and created by Ellie Kemper and Scott Eckert.
Our executive producer is Aaron Kaufman. Our producers are Sheena Ozaki and Zoe Dankla.
Born to Love is part of Will Ferrell's Big Money Players Network in collaboration with iHeart Podcasts. Special thanks to Han Sani,
Rachel Kaplan and Adriana Cassiano,
Michael Fales,
Alex Coral,
and Bahid Frazier.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You've probably heard a lot about electrified vehicles lately. Well, Toyota has electrified options for every lifestyle. We've got hybrids, no plug needed.
All right, let's go.
But we also have plug-in hybrids, if that's your thing. You can even go 100% electric in the Toyota BZ4X. With so many options for reducing carbon emissions, Toyota is electrified, diversified. Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.